I'm going to continue on the theme of hearing God's voice. I wanted to read an article that Robin shared with me. He sent me a link, and it was really good, and I just want to share this with you. It says, often we ask God to speak to us, only to hear back, "If you are so interested in what I think, then why didn't you do the last thing I told you?" Obedience is the response that keeps the dialogue going. If we refuse to do what God tells us in the little things, we risk deafening our spiritual ear. If we refuse to do what God speaks in the big things, we risk his active rebuke. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice." Now imagine your own son coming to you in great earnestness and saying, "Father, please speak to me. What would you have me to do?" And you respond, "I would like you to clean your room." Thrilled at the sound of your voice, the child goes off elated, but does not clean the room. Later, he approaches again, "Father, please disclose your will to your humble child." You tell him again, "Go clean your room." Pleased, he withdraws himself again, but does not do what he asked. Yet again, your son comes to you, "Oh, great father, I long to do your bidding." Sounds almost religious, doesn't it? "Grant me the favor of your wisdom and direction." What would you do at this point? Perhaps a stare would suffice. What does God do when we play this game with him? And then he quotes James 1:22. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Hebrews 3:15 says, "Today," everybody say today, "if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." What does today mean? Today means today. It means this dispensation of time that we're in right now, the right now. And the question is, folks, are you able to hear God's voice? Because it's possible to harden our hearts to his voice simply because when he is speaking, we're not listening. And so Israel in the wilderness had hardened their hearts against God. God was speaking, but they didn't want to hear it. And you know, there's nothing new under the sun. We have the same problem today in our society and even in the church. Sometimes we're asking God to speak, but we're expecting certain things from God. So if God doesn't speak what we want to hear, we're not interested. And sometimes we look around for someone else to tell us things that we want to hear, hopefully from God. But if it's not what we want to hear from God, then we're not interested. Sometimes God does speak to us in very clear ways, and yet we don't really like what God had to say, so we decide not to listen. Has anybody ever been there and done that? Come on, we pray, "God, speak to me. God, I want to know your voice. God, I want to hear your voice. I want to be led by your spirit." And God speaks to you and says, "Okay, go take the trash out. Go mow the grass at the church." "Oh, God, I didn't ask for that. I wanted a television evangelistic ministry." Come on. You know, the Lord will give us assignments, sometimes little things, but they're important things because there's no such thing as a little thing really to God. It's everything he asks us to do has importance in it. Even if it means he's asking you to do something where no one else is going to recognize what you did or see what you did. Because what really matters is that we are hearing his voice and doing what he tells us to do, not that we're pleasing people necessarily. Not that we're even being recognized by people as being doing this thing that I'm doing. Because our validation should not come from man, but from him. And the Father does speak to his kids. If we have received the Holy Spirit, amen, the Spirit of truth has come. God speaks to us through his Spirit. And so he is speaking. The problem is this, is that we're not being faithful in the little thing. But we want the big thing. So today, if you are hearing his voice, it's time to say yes, whatever it is, whatever menial thing it may even appear to be. How many know that it's not how big or how much, it's what you did with what you had. I'm going to say that again. It's not necessarily how big and how much, but did I do what I was called to do in this life in the time that God gave me here? It's not even did anybody notice all the good things I'm doing. I'm the only one that does anything around here. What's wrong with these people? Well, who are you working unto? Unto them or unto God? Well, my boss doesn't recognize what I do at work. It's not fair. Well, who are you working unto? Him or God? When you work unto the Lord, even your boss will be pleased with you. He may not be a fair boss, but God recognizes what you do. He sees what you do in secret, and he judges not according to appearance, but according to the heart, what our motivations were and why we did what we did. And so sometimes we're doing things to be seen by the boss. Come on. But when the boss ain't there, God sees what you're doing when he's not there. He sees what you're doing in your bedroom. He sees what you're doing where in your head every day, what you're dwelling on, what you're thinking on, what you're doing. Amen. There are no secrets. And he wants to bless his children because he loves us. And he does have a plan for our lives, a good plan. God's plans are good for us. Sometimes it's difficult in the process of coming to the completion of the plan, but the plan is always good at the end. And sometimes God's going to ask us to do something that will be painful, that may require us being rejected of men even at times, because God's going to tell you to do something. He may test you to obey him rather than men. And if you fear people, you will compromise the will of God, the word of God. And then sometimes we're coming back to God and say, God, speak to me again. God, speak to me again. You hadn't done what I asked you to do the first time. Now, in Isaiah, in chapter 55, Israel is backslidden and they're being called. They're being called back to the Lord. It's an invitation for Israel to return to him. Not only can we see God calling Israel here, but how many know that when God speaks to Israel, he's also speaking to his church? So what we see in history also applies to us today. We can glean from the experiences of yesterday. Would you agree? We can learn and be admonished by the things of the past, and we can be wise by learning from the examples of others. How many would agree it's always better to learn from the mistake of somebody else, amen, learn from that, rather than to repeat that. So God wrote a lot of things down here by the Holy Spirit. He wrote them in this book so that we could understand his ways and how he deals with people. So he's calling Israel. He says, listen, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. The waters represent the Holy Spirit. And what we need is a consciousness of our thirst. We've been through this before, but the fact is, folks, if we are not thirsty, we won't drink. If you're not hungry, you won't eat. Generally speaking, am I right? So if we're not thirsty, and if we're not hungry, then what are we full of? What is quenching our thirst? What is filling our hunger? Why aren't we hungry and thirsty for him who truly satisfies? I think sometimes we're full of junk food, aren't we? We've allowed things of the world to come in and to choke us. And he says, you who have no money, this is something that's free, freely given. Come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk. Hallelujah. This is the wine of his joy. and the milk of his precious word without cost, without money and price. He says in verse 2, why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Does God want you to have abundant life? Yes. What has to happen? We need to start listening carefully to the voice of the Lord. And when we listen, we receive nourishment. His voice is life and health. Amen? These words I speak unto you, Jesus said, are what? Spirit and life. It's the word that produces life. Israel had been wasting itself, wasting its resources, wasting its energy. But you and I know that true and lasting pleasure comes from the Lord. It's only found in the Lord. And so sometimes you and I get caught up doing the very same thing where we are spending ourselves on vanity. Wasting the time, the precious moments that we have. Living for vanity, for vain things, things that have no eternal value. Are you with me today? We're not responsible, folks, to go beyond what God says. But we are responsible to hear when he speaks. If God speaks, it's time to stop and listen. Are you with me? And not only listen, but to listen carefully, because there are those who are hearing, but they're not hearing. They hear his voice, but they're not hearing. They're not responding to where there is an act of obedience, because faith without an act of obedience is dead. You can't say that you're obeying God, amen, just because you listen to a sermon doesn't mean you're being obedient. Just because you read your Bible, amen, you can read and know all the facts and know all the verses, but the question is are we really receiving what God is speaking to us about and doing what he says? Because God says, if you listen carefully to me, then you will delight yourself in abundance. He's going to pour out his spirit to us who listen to him. He's going to entrust us with more to those of us who listen to him. To those of us who are listening carefully and willing to do even the little thing, because God says, call this person, pray for this person, bless this person, do this, do that. We're willing to do the little thing that nobody else sees. But what matters is that I'm obedient to what God is saying. I'm hearing and listening and obeying his voice. Because it's life. Oh, hallelujah. It's better than sacrifice. How many know, folks, that if we continue to follow our selfish ways, it will result in a loss of our eternal rewards? It will result in a loss of our eternal rewards. The end result of listening to God's voice will be eternal riches with Christ. So when God is speaking, folks, we need to listen up. It's just like that poem that was read earlier. There's a reason why we read that, because it's so true that God is speaking through the speaker. He's coming through, and with that, there's going to be other voices, there's going to be other noise. We've kind of talked about this before, but it really fits. And that we need to know, hallelujah, not only the voice, but we need to know what the manual says. And there's times when you're not going to hear the audible or the voice, even the still small voice, and maybe recognize that. But you got the standard. You got this manual right here that you can go to, amen, and say, if I'm not hearing anything else, I know the manual says this. And I'm going to stick to the last word that God gave me. I'm not going to do anything until God says to go. We get in a hurry and we say, well, God's not speaking, so I'll help God out on the promise. Just ask Abraham and Sarah about that, right? You produce an Ishmael. He says, incline your ear. And what? Come to me. He's talking about worship, folks, to draw near, to come to him. Listen to my voice. Draw near to me, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. And what was that? Well, we read in Psalms 89:3, it says, the Lord said, I have made a covenant with David, my chosen servant. I have sworn this oath to him. Now, if God swears an oath, folks, it's binding. It's unchangeable. There's no turning back on an oath because of God's integrity, because who he is, because he is truth. Because God, it's impossible for God to lie. So if he promises something by an oath, it's firm. You can trust what he says. He says, I will establish your descendants as kings forever. They will sit on your throne from now until eternity. Now, how many know that in Messiah, in Jesus, you and I are kings and priests unto him? We are also spiritually grafted in to the blessings of Abraham and to the promise that God gave to Abraham. And he says in verse 28, I will love him and be kind to him forever. My covenant with him, David, will never end. I will preserve an heir for him. His throne will be as endless as the days of heaven. Now, remember that Jesus was called the Son of David. It was from the lineage of David, amen, that Messiah came. And so there was going to be a seed that would come from the woman, amen? But it was a descendant of Abraham through that lineage. And so the promises of Abraham were before the law was ever given. So it was not of works, but it was by promise that Abraham would receive the blessings through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, amen? And the, consequently, the blessings and the gifts of God that would flow out of his finished work towards you and I, his people, his church. These blessings are fulfilled in our Lord Jesus and his glorious reign on the earth. Jesus is going to come, folks. He's returning. And the Gentile nations, thank God that includes us too, will share in the benefits of the kingdom. Now in Genesis 18 and verse 18, since Abraham, it says, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. How? Chapter 22 and verse 18, it says, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. What is the seed? The seed is Jesus. In your seed, not seeds, plural, but seed. It's speaking of Christ, the Christ child that would come. And I will make your descendants multiply, chapter 26 and verse 4, as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands. Now, this is talking about geography on the earth, folks. Grasp a hold of this, because there is this thing today called replacement theology, where they say that Israel no longer has any purpose. The church has replaced Israel. That's not true. Read Romans 11. It's very clear that we have been grafted in. And in your seed, all the nations, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Isaiah 55, and now back to verse 4. It says, indeed, I have given him, Messiah, talking about Jesus, as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who you do not know you shall run to, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Isn't it interesting today that there is so much attention on this little tiny country, sliver of a country called Israel, that all the major news outfits and groups are all focusing on the little problem that they seem to be having between Israel and the Palestinians, and now, you know, Iran and Syria, and everybody's upset with Israel, and this poor little Israel that seems so insignificant, yet is drawing so much attention. The whole world is looking over there at that place. Come on, it's like everybody looking at New Jersey. I think the same size. I think they equate it to New Jersey. Isn't it interesting, though, to see what's happening? I mean, we're seeing biblical prophecy unfolding before our eyes. And you know, folks, I think as Noah Hutchings had a video out a while back, just showing the fruit of the land in Israel. It's more fertile than any place on the planet. Amazing production of fruits and vegetables and crops. Huge, huge fruits and vegetables. Unlike anything. Why is that? Because of God's promise. When they first arrived there, that the land was nothing. It was desolate as a waste place. And yet God had promised that his descendants would be like the sand of the sea. They would be innumerable. That it's just going to spread out through the earth. And then what's happening is God had promised that I'm going to bring your people back to the land. And I will establish you here. And where? Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne of David. And he's going to rule in Jerusalem over all the earth. So there's some significant things that are happening right now. We see the hostility of all Israel's neighbors right now that is surrounding her. Wanting to just take her, obliterate her, take her off the map. How many know that's never going to happen? My father's bigger than your father. And my father's going to take care of it. Amen? I'm not saying that Israel's not going to go through some very difficult times, but I am saying that God has promised, and there's always been a remnant, and he's going to do what he swore in an oath to do, and you and I get to be a part of what he's doing. And he says what he's saying to Israel, he's saying to all, verse 6, I want you to take a look at this. What is God saying to us? What is he saying? Seek the Lord. How many are seeking the Lord? Seek the Lord. Well, say, God, speak to me. God, I can't hear your voice. God, speak to me. He says, seek me. Sometimes that's the word you're getting is seek me. How many know that God will speak to you, but sometimes you have to seek him? Sometimes you may be driving down the street and all of a sudden God will just download something. He'll speak to you. And other times you can pray and fast and walk around and nothing seems to be happening. And then, you know, sometimes we even get worked up over this because, you know, God, where are you? God, are you hearing God? And then as soon as you just calm down and sit down and quit fretting, and all of a sudden the still small voice will come and say, now I can talk to you. Sometimes we get all worked up over our situation, over our life and the way things are appearing. And we're focused so much on that it's just become such a huge monster in our eyes. And then we're fretting about it, and God's just telling us to be still and know that I'm God. Just calm down. Listen to my voice. I want to speak to you, but you're not allowing me to speak to you because you're so busy trying to fix yourself. You're so busy trying to fix your life. And sometimes you're so busy trying to fix everybody else's life. Why don't you let me fix you? Why don't you just seek me? Why don't you just worship me? Why don't you just sit with me? Why don't you do the more needful thing like Mary? Amen? And just sit at my feet and let me pour into you. Let me just minister to you. Let me just restore and heal your soul. Sometimes we get so busy, we get into Martha's madness where we're running around doing all this stuff. Jesus, don't you see I'm the only one doing all this do stuff? And sometimes God is just saying, calm down, settle down, turn the boob tube off. I want to speak to you because I have an instruction for you. Are we willing to listen to the instruction? Are we willing to take the first step even today? Are you willing to say today, you know what? I'm going to start practicing listening. Today, I want to make a decision that I'm going to start practicing to listen to God's voice. I want to hear and listen carefully to what the Lord would speak to me, because sometimes he just gives you one little assignment, folks. And if you're not going to be faithful to that, don't expect something else from God. In the church, so often we get in a hurry. We're busy. We want to run ahead of God, and we don't want to wait for the process for him to prepare us for what he has. And so we start helping God. Do you know God's not asking us to work for him? He's asking us to walk with him. When you walk with him, you'll work for him. But you don't, it's not in that order. I'm working for God so he'll like me more and maybe I'll have some favor with God. He's just saying, first of all, hear what I have to say. I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I want you, first of all, to be very aware of that truth, of that reality that I love you. I loved you before you ever did anything for me. It's not about just doing for me. It's about knowing that I love you and I want you to be my own. I want you to spend time with me. I want us to be acquainted because I love you and I want you to know me because when we begin to know God, we begin to know what love really is. You can't even love yourself and love others effectively until you know the love of God in your heart. We need to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the Lord in all things. And not so, be so busy trying to work for God, but let's start walking with God and let's just start listening to his voice. You know, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He doesn't come and dump all this stuff on you and make it so, oh, how am I going to do all this? It's like we said the other day, right? How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Sometimes your life is like that. And God's just saying, you know, just do this thing I put in front of you first. I think of people who are great visionaries and they accomplish mighty things, folks. It didn't start where they just said, I'm going to go out and do this mighty thing. It started with a step. One step at a time. And it's the same thing with us. If we want to fulfill the word of and the will of God for our lives, it's going to require small, sometimes baby steps, sometimes even insignificant steps of service and obedience to whatever God has told us to do. And then when we prove that we're going to be trustworthy in the assignments, the little assignments he gives us, the low risk, if you will, assignments, then comes the time when God says, okay, I know I can trust you with more now. People are saying, God, give me power, give me anointing, give me this, give me gifts, give me that. And yet they're not being faithful in the little thing. Are you with me? And sometimes you can just be dangerous. You're like with a baby with a hand grenade, you know. He says two things, folks. Seek the Lord. And number two, here's the part that a lot of people don't like. Forsake your sin. You want God to speak to you? You want God to direct your life? You want God to bless you? You want God to use you in a mighty way? Seek him and forsake your sin. Turn away from sin. See, people want God to favor them and bless them and give them, give me this God, give me that God, but they don't want to obey instruction where he says, stop that. Stop. Just quit making excuses for it. Stop now. Have you ever told your kids that? I can't, or I don't want to. He said, stop. Sometimes, you know, the Lord just, at first he says, now stop that. You're not supposed to be doing that. And if we continue to be stubborn, he speaks a little louder. And he speaks a little louder and a little louder. And then sometimes he just has to take us out behind the barn and teach us a lesson. Are you with me? Yes. We are his kids. He loves us that much. Because if you don't discipline your kids, you're going to produce a child of hell. Being disciplined by my parents helped me to have self-discipline. You want your kids to have self-discipline? Discipline them. Even when they don't like it, even if they cry, yes, they're going to cry. And it's not enjoyable. No parent likes to discipline their kids if they're normal. Am I right? You don't like doing it. But it's necessary to protect your children from a worse evil that could come. As they grow up in rebellion, it breeds greater rebellion. And I found that if you start when they're real young, you know what I'm saying? Old enough to know when you say no, when they know what no means, it's time to discipline them. Yeah, start young. And then after a little while, you'll find that you don't have to just keep disciplining them because all you have to do is give them the look. What is God saying? Seek me and turn away from your sin. Listen to me. Listen to my voice. He says, return, because you're going to find that God is full of mercy, that God is full of, you know, of compassion, that he wants to pardon. And you know, folks, God can't save people who won't listen to him. He can't save you. Why? Because he doesn't force you to be saved, first of all. He doesn't force anyone to be saved. He doesn't force anyone to obey. He'll discipline, but even in that, there's times when a son will not listen to the father. Are you with me? And just like the prodigal, he grew up in the house, and the time came, the father just had to let him go. He had to go and eat pig food for a while. And he had to learn the lesson the hard way. Sometimes that's the only way to get our attention. God wants to reveal himself to us. Proverbs 1:23 says, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. What do you got to do? When he says stop, you stop. When he says go, you go. And he says in verse 8 in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. You know, it's like he has to talk to teenagers sometimes in the church. You know, he's talking to us and he's saying, listen, I know you think you got it all figured out. I know you think that, you know, God just doesn't get it sometimes, you know. Just like when we were teenagers, our parents didn't have a clue, right? Yeah, right. We thought. But sometimes we're that way where we question things according to our own reason, our own experience, our own level of understanding, which is dwarfed and usually corrupted anyways. And God says, don't. My thoughts are not going to be like your thoughts. However, in Christ, when you receive the Spirit of the Lord, then he begins to speak to you. Amen. You start to have the mind of Christ, and then you begin to know that now that is the Lord speaking to me. And he says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And, you know, we often do. We try to judge God by our own thoughts and our own ways, our own natural understanding. But God's ways transcend our ways. His ways are much higher than our ways. And God will often test us in our obedience to the little assignment to ask you to do something that is beyond your reason capacity. Although, I don't know, that can't be God, because that just doesn't make sense. Nobody had ever seen the Red Sea part before. God, I'm going to look like a fool if I raise up my rod over the sea and nothing happens. What's the little rod going to do anyways? Don't be wise in your own understanding, he's saying. Don't be wise in your own conceits. You got to go higher than your reason. You got to hear the voice of God. If you know the voice of God, do what God tells you to do, even if it means you got to pour water into wine pots. Well, that doesn't make sense either. You know, you pour wine into wine pots. How are they going to drink wine if I pour water into a wine pot? Do what he says, Mary said. Just whatever he tells you to do, do it. Listen to his voice. Pour water. And he turned the water into wine. The miracle is going to follow the obedience. The step of faith has to precede any miracle or any work of God in your life, including salvation. It took a step of faith for us to realize that, you know what? I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I need God's mercy. I'm going to turn my heart towards Jesus. I'm going to look to him, and I'm going to do something. I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's an act of faith, always. It requires an action on our part. Listen to his voice. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. How do we know the heart of God? How do we know the voice of God? By the Spirit of God that he gives to us. What I want you to glean from today, folks, is that simply, we need to discipline ourselves to listen carefully to the voice of God. Folks, it is life to you to hear his voice. When you hear a message, and when God is speaking to you, even if there's correction in it, it still produces life. If you hear a message where there's correction and you feel like a wet towel was dumped on you, that's not from God. But when God speaks, even in correction, it's always life-giving. It's always redemptive. When God speaks to us, it's always with the purpose of redemption. It's always to heal and to restore and to bring a wayward son or daughter back into right place where they're listening now to Papa God. And they're doing what their father shows them and speaks to them to do, so that, you know, his intention is to do good for us only. Even if it means there's suffering in the offering, it still means that in the end it's going to be better than it was in the beginning. When God tells people to do things, he calls people and he gives them assignments. Sometimes, folks, what God is calling us to do is a difficult assignment. The question is not, is it something I wanted to do, or is it, am I willing to do whatever God says? And I found that more often than not, the good feelings follow obedience. But when I follow just good feelings, sometimes I'm deceived. If it feels good, I'll do it. He didn't say that. He says, if you hear my voice today, don't harden your hearts. I'm bringing you into a good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. What they didn't understand, that there was going to be wilderness. There's going to be difficulties on the process of getting to the land. And it was their attitude that God was looking at. He was testing them then. And he was teaching them to listen to his voice, to learn that whatever he says is going to be good for them. Even if it doesn't make sense, we have to trust the Lord. And if you don't have a word today, go by the last word you got from God. Stand on that word. Don't move from that word until God gives you a new revelation of what he wants you to do next. Amen. And you'll be safe. Sometimes we get impatient because we're not hearing God, and God, I got to get something done here. I got to do something. You know, we're doers often, and God has given us a word. Sometimes he's saying, I want you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Other times he's going to tell you to move. What are you doing here? It's time to get up and cross over. The key is to hear his voice today. Today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart to him. People hear the voice of God. He's telling them to repent of sin. And some people, they continue to ignore. They hear his voice, but they ignore his voice. Are you hearing me? And he says, do not harden your hearts. Why? Because the more that you resist the voice of God and do despite unto the Spirit of grace, the harder your heart becomes and the more difficult it becomes for you to actually hear his voice. And God is speaking. But you know what? It's like the Father, the good Father, that he's already given you assignment. It's like you haven't done the first thing. Go back to square one. Get back to your first love. Do the first things. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. God, anoint our ears, anoint our hearts to hear your voice today. And I want you to speak to the Lord right where you're at and say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice today. Speak to me, Lord. Reveal yourself to me, Lord. Lord, I repent of not listening. Lord, I want to start listening. Please, Jesus, I want to hear your voice. Speak to me, Lord. Your servant is listening. Now listen to what he's telling you. See, God has already spoken to some of us this morning. Even while you were listening, God has been speaking to you. Are you willing to obey? If you're faithful in his instructions, even in the little things, then he'll be again to entrust you with greater things. Just say, yes, Lord, we're willing. We want to hear, we want to do. And Lord, we're not going to move until you didn't tell us to move. But help us to listen carefully for your voice every day, so that we will not miss you, so that we will not be presumptuous and go our own way, but that we will walk carefully with our Lord, that your kingdom will come and your word will be accomplished in the earth. Your will. In Jesus' name.